Welcome to the Wolverine Digest Podcast, the best spot for objective and authentic coverage of Michigan athletics. If you want open dialogue, honest opinions, and in-depth coverage of the Navy Blue, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's your host, Brandon Brown, joined as always by Chris Breitler.
What is up, everybody?
What it do?
We ain't got no job.
You got shit to do? You might as well be here with us. Feeling good on a Friday, Chris. I don't know about you, but last night sent some energy waves through my body. I mean, I think I was expecting it. For those who don't know what I'm referencing, Michigan Madness, the basketball season kickoff event, was last night for both the men's and women's programs. The men are currently ranked number 6 in the preseason polls, and the women are ranked number 11. So both programs are flying high. The fans love Juwan Howard, love Kim Barnes-Arrico. There's a ton of new talent at Michigan for the basketball, the men's basketball team. They've got a returning All-American and Naz Hillman on the women's team. It's just, I mean, it was just palpable in there last night, man. The buzz was really something to see. Then they did a concert at the end. You and I were there just kind of soaking it in, getting photos, getting video, kind of checking it all out. And I really had a good time. I thought it was really, really cool. I put up a bunch of photos from that event earlier today. I know you streamed a bunch of stuff, and we got some really cool video from all that. So, I don't know, man. That was, like I said, it wasn't surprising, but I just left being, like, so excited for basketball season, even though we're, like, a day away from a football game, and Michigan's about to be 7-0, hopefully, and then the Michigan State game. I'm sure once next week rolls around, like, it is going to be all hands on deck Michigan, Michigan State. But last night was a lot of fun, man, and it really kind of makes me geeked up for the basketball season.
It was crazy. That was, I mean, out of all the experiences I've had so far in doing this job, that was probably, you know, walking into the press box, I think, and seeing Michigan Stadium for the first time from that vantage point was something that I'll remember forever. But being on the floor and, like, you know, you've got the rapper on stage, you've got the players going crazy, you've got Juwan Howard, like, just chilling over in the corner by himself, like, watching his player. Like, it was such a surreal moment. And like, before they let everybody down on the floor, it was just, like, photographers and media people down there. So it was, like, this really weird environment.
We're right
where
there.
You were, like, just you, the players, and the entertainment that was going on. And it was such a cool thing. And, man, you know, I think we always give a lot of credit to Juwan Howard and just the personality and the energy and the vibe that he puts out. But everything that occurred that night, like, he is just such a driving force between that positivity and that energy and the way he came out of the tunnel and the way he interacts with the crowd. He's just a different breed. I've said this a number of times. I'll say it again. I can't imagine being a highly recruited athlete, basketball player in the country, and having Michigan as an option and choosing to go elsewhere. Especially if you were there last night, it's like, you know, you saw the players the morning after. It was like, man, like, they were coming on social media. Like, that was crazy. Like, that was one of the coolest moments of my life. And I agree. That was surreal.
There was a lot of, you know, Michigan fans, your coach could never. And even members of, like, the Michigan football staff were like, Juwan Howard's the swaggiest coach in the country. There's no one even challenging him for that title. And I'm with you, man. I am with you. I don't know how a big time recruit who has Michigan as a legitimate option and it's actually a place they want to go says no to that guy. I don't know. I don't know how they do that. It was really cool. It was a lot of fun. And I teased Chris a little bit last night. I think Chris found his new calling. Chris was up there with the camera rig, and I can't quite
just
do
me
it.
And just me and my cell phone.
I don't have a lot of room here, and I'm kind of tethered to my computer because of the headset. But Chris was in, like, a stance that I don't really want to see again if I can help it. But
I was tapping into all the – I'm sore. I'm sore today. Dude, I was bending and contorting.
It was a 30-minute just partial box squat. You were just in.
Yeah, I literally felt like I was shooting a rap video in Chrysler. That's really what I felt.
Really got into it. Made me feel really good about the guy that's working with me. I was like, that dude is into it right there.
It's in my DNA, man.
That dude. No, it was funny. I was just mowing down photos all night. I mean,
I do want to say to the people that tuned in for the live, like, I know it was a little bit crazy there and chaotic, but there was so much going on that there really wasn't like a good time to pause. It was like they would end an event, they would go to the next thing. Mm-hmm. So I was basically running around with this monopod trying to catch as much of it as I possibly could, because I know people from the outside weren't able to see it. So hopefully you guys were able to, you know, enjoy that, catch a little bit of it. Now that, you know, I've sort of been exposed to that, maybe I can prepare for it a little bit better. But it was chaotic, man. We were running all over the place just trying to get content.
They purposely squeezed a lot in a short amount of time. And they don't want to come, you know, they don't want to do a free event, have a bunch of fans come out and have it take 6 hours. I mean, they tried to squeeze multiple things into a hour window, really. I mean, it was from 8 to 9 pretty much, with the dunk contest, the dance contest, the 3-point shootout, and then the concert started at 9. So, yeah, they were trying to squeeze it in, and I think they did a good job. I mean, the event was really cool. It was well done. The music was, I'm telling you, man, it was, I mean, my pants were like shaking off my body. That's how loud the music was. It was a great time. It was a great time. I know Chris had a great time. Everybody in town knows Chris had a great time.
I did.
Steal from old school there. No,
it was a little hot in the gym.
I did get a little warm.
Poor choice of outfit choice. I rolled into Chrysler with the sweatpants on and the sweatshirt, and I don't know. It felt like it was about 95 degrees in there, so made a little faux pas.
I mean, when you're in an aggressive squat stance for 40 minutes straight, I mean, that's going to happen.
Can you do that in skinny jeans, though? You can't. You got to be in sweatpants.
You can't. No, but it turned out really well. We got some good stuff out of it, so hopefully people enjoyed that. And we threw some things up today. There'll be stuff. I mean, we'll be using those photos, I think, for the rest of the season when it comes to basketball. And just overall, a really cool event. So hopefully you got a chance to see a little bit of that before we get into all football stuff here, as we get ready to launch into tomorrow's game, the return to the Big House. Michigan will take on Northwestern at noon. We're excited to get back into the Big House and check that out in person. And are we just gonna go right into some prediction stuff and just start talking about whatever we talk about?
Is that where we're at? I feel like we've really neglected Northwestern in this game. I just feel like we haven't really given it much attention, and I sort of feel bad about it.
It's kind of been that way. It's kind of been that way this week. I felt like, am I doing it all I'm supposed to be doing? And like we're checking the boxes, but I definitely feel a little bit of a lull this week coming off the bye. And then the opponent, but yeah, no doubt about it. We're excited that we'll be back in the Big House tomorrow watching the game. Let's get into my let's get into my predictions. You can call me dumb or you can call me smart on these if you would like. You know, go in as hard as you want on these. Number one, Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins both score touchdowns.
No, I think that's a smart play, especially given what we heard, you know, from JP. We talked to him this week, right?
Wednesday. Yep.
It's been a long week, but yeah, after talking to JP and doing a little bit of research on Northwestern, what Michigan does really well is what Northwestern really struggles at, and that's running the ball. And so expect Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins. They've been a little bit quiet over the last few weeks with Big Ten play or over the last few games. I would expect they're probably going to use Northwestern to try to get that thing back on track and probably going to see a lot of carries between the two. So I would say smart.
I had half of mine to throw Donovan Edwards into the mix as well. Mm. I think it's going to be a pretty close recreation to some of the stuff we saw early in the year where Michigan went up against a couple teams that struggled against the run. And Northwestern's the worst team in the Big Ten at stopping the run. So Michigan's definitely going to exploit that. I think it's pretty easy that Corum and Haskins find the end zone. And I wouldn't be surprised if Donovan Edwards did again as well. All right, how about this one? I feel like he's gotten a little bit hot. I feel like he's really started to put some things together. He was, I don't want to say confused and playing slow at the beginning of the year because he's been really good all season. But I feel like things might have clicked a little bit more for him as of late. We'll see what the bye week did for him. Daxton Hill will intercept another pass tomorrow. He's got two.
I think it's smart. Yeah, two in a row, right? Two games in a row. He did it at Wisconsin, did it in Nebraska. Yeah, you're right. It seemed like he was off to a bit of a slow start. I mean, I think you've been kind of more in tune with him than the average fan. Like, you can see some of the things he's doing out there and how impactful he is without creating the turnovers.
He's graded out well, meaning he's in the right spot. He's not missing tackles. He's for the most part, doing pretty well in coverage. But yeah, I mean, like if a safety's not making like a huge play or getting an interception, you don't really notice what they do that much. So yeah, I would agree with that.
So it's not necessarily, so he's been playing well, but the turnovers are the big splash plays. And it looks like he's starting to figure that out. And I would assume that Northwestern is going to present plenty of those opportunities. And, you know, we'll get to it later when we go to the overs and the over and under, but I would say that that's a pretty smart play because it looks like he's found his groove. And if he can pick it up after the bye week, yeah, I'd say he gets one.
Yeah. I just feel like he's being asked to do a lot of things and he has been all year, but it's starting to come easier to him. He's in the right place at the right time. He's super talented. Everybody knows that. And I think he's going to be on Northwestern's best receiver. I think the dude's name is Robinson. And that's how it's been. He's been in the slot more than anywhere else all season. And I think that's where he'll be on that dude. And I think he might have his chance to get his hands on one. All right. This one, lazy. I didn't even change it from last time. Aiden Hutchinson, David Ojabo both get a sack. I just think they're so good, dude. And I think
you can probably mark that down every week.
Yeah, like every week. I don't want to leave them the same, but I really feel like that's going to happen again. I really feel like the way they've talked about each other, that they kind of like they challenge each other to get that sack, to get home, to get some pressure on the quarterback. So I think, and maybe it's a hope, I guess, because I love watching the quarterback sack, man. I mean, it's such a big play from two dudes that are dynamic on that defense.
Yeah, it's a smart prediction. JP said, I think if I recall correctly, Northwestern, one of the biggest things to watch out for is they do a lot of play action and they're going to try to, you know, push the ball down the field, which means that there's probably going to be a little bit of extra time for a guy like Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo to get to the quarterback. So there'll be some extra opportunities there, hopefully, and they'll take advantage of it. We know they're talented enough to get to the quarterback. It seems like against a team like Northwestern, I would expect both of them to get there at least once.
JP did say something about the specific matchup that Aiden Hutchinson might have with a young tackle for Northwestern. So that'll be, I can't remember the young dude's name. I think he had a hard to pronounce name if I'm not mistaken, but so we'll see how that goes. And the thing with Aiden though, is that he's coming from different places. It's not like he's just lining up on the end and he's going to be facing that left tackle all day long. He'll come from the next level. They'll do twists and stunts. He'll come from the other side, standing up, you know, second level. So I think the way that they've been used, I think we will see both of them get home and get a sack tomorrow. All right, number four. Oh, boy. What will this do heading into Michigan State week? J.J. McCarthy will throw his third touchdown pass of the season. You're going to call it dumb.
No, I don't think it's dumb. I just don't. Yes, you know what? You're dumb. It's dumb. Horrible. Awful.
I'm dumb.
They've for some odd reason, they've stopped letting JJ McCarthy throw the ball. At least that's how it appears, you know? So, but even in limited reps, like he's still getting the ball in the end zone. Like I think he threw one pass in Wisconsin, and it was the touchdown pass. So, I mean, if he gets on the field and they let him throw it, yeah, I would say he could do it. But based on what we've seen over the last couple games, it doesn't look like they're interested in opening it up for him. So until we see that, I'll say probably not.
So this last one I actually started putting together before I went through our predictions. So I know I'm going to be smart on this one, but I keep playing in my head how I think the game's going to go, the game script, some of the stuff we're going to see early, how I think it's going to finish out towards the end when Michigan presumably has a lead. Northwestern will only score one touchdown tomorrow, one time into the end zone.
Yeah.
That's what we got. That's it.
Oh, you were asking the question. Sorry. It.
That is the question.
That's the question.
I'm like, is this thing on?
Testing. Over.
Northwestern will only score one touchdown tomorrow.
Yes, because again, we'll get to our predictions, but that's pretty much where I've got them at. They'll get in the end zone once. They'll add a couple field goals, and that'll be it.
Yeah, I keep thinking about what I think the game is going to look like. I expect Michigan to come out maybe like a touch slow, kind of bang some rust off. There we go. Bang some rust off again from the bye and just try to figure out what they're going to do. And I think they're going to run the ball quite a bit. And so I just don't think there's going to be a lot of possessions for Northwestern. I don't think they're going to be able to move the ball particularly well. I think the stadium is going to be it could be a little sleepy in there tomorrow. I'm waiting to see how that looks, but
what's the weather? Is it going to be chilly?
It's supposed to be warm, like coolish, 50, okay. 58, 62, somewhere in that range. You know,
coming by off the bye week, you're waiting for Michigan State. You just kind of want to get through this one.
He's got a nice cozy sweatshirt on. Like, you don't know what's happening out there. I don't know. I think the game, I think the game could have a slightly slower start than normal. And I just don't think Northwestern's that good. I don't want to be disrespectful to them. I do like Pat Fitzgerald. I like everything about the guy, except for his jumping jack display that he did when he got a penalty at Michigan that one time. I was like, dude, who invited this guy to the game? But I like what they're about, and they are pesky. Yep. What's the little what was the little graphic you put up earlier today? That's exactly what I think about when I think of Northwestern.
Yeah. So four of the last five matchups have been a difference of an average of 4.7 points.
So less
in
than
the final
five
score. Points. Right. Yep. So less than 5 points, less than a touchdown. So, you know, less than a touchdown, a little more than a field goal. But, you know, over the last handful of games, Northwestern traditionally plays Michigan pretty tough. Now, there's always going to be an outlier where Michigan goes and blows them out. I mean, Michigan's won the last six straight. Mm. But, you know, to have it at an average of 4.7 points a victory, that's not super cozy, especially if you're the number six team in the country and you've got bigger aspirations. And so you're right. Northwestern is one of those teams. We've seen it before where they'll sneak up, they'll punch above their weight, they'll be pesky all day. And if it's a game in the fourth quarter, now all of a sudden you're seeing, you know, Roundtree down, you know, towards the end zone, making a tip catch to save the day. So hopefully we don't get to that point. I just feel like teams are different mentally. I don't think we're going to see that sort of letdown. Even if there's a letdown in the stands, I don't think we'll see it on the field.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, well, we'll get into it. I don't want to lean too heavy on the predictions and the score and what it might look like, but it's a big number. 23.5 is a big spread on the betting line. So we'll talk about that a little bit towards the end when we get into our Place Your Bets segment. All right, coming up next, dude, Big Ten. The Big Ten slate this weekend is actually not horrible. There's not like a marquee matchup, but there's also not like a turd matchup. I mean, it's like, it's decent. So here's what we got for Big Ten, big game, our approach. I don't know if this really qualifies with the sound bites that we have because they're not that big and they're not that lame, but here we go.
Let's hear it. Big game.
I think the biggest Big Ten game of the weekend is Ohio State at Indiana. That kind of tells you what I'm talking about. There's not like Michigan Northwestern's not that big of a deal. Michigan's expected to win. Ohio State's expected to win by a lot too. But I think you got to go on the road to Indiana. They're another one of those pesky teams. I do feel like Ohio State is kind of rolling right now, but it's in Bloomington. It's at 7:30 at night. Ohio State's favored by 21. So that's the biggest game we could come up with. I don't know. What do you think of when you hear that number right out of the gate?
I just play the scenario out in my head of Ohio State at Indiana, and it just seems like one of those games. What time is that one kickoff? You know? That's
Ohio State game?
Yeah.
7:30. It's a night game.
That's a night game. Okay. Yeah, it's got, you know, there's some of the ingredients there for an interesting game. And, you know, Indiana is one of those teams where last year, everybody coming off of that year was really high on Indiana. I know the wheels have come off this year. They're down Penix, you know, so they've had some injuries there that have slowed them up, but I think they're still capable of putting a scare on a team like Ohio State. I think it'll be closer than what the spread indicates, but I think Ohio State's still going to get the W.
So you think you'd put your money on Indiana and those points?
What is it again?
21. It's a lot.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think Ohio State's going to kick their ass. I think Ohio State's going to beat them down.
Have you ever seen Tom Allen in the locker room? Like frothing at the mouth, like when it's prime time. When there's a spotlight down there, Tom Allen is different under
Looks
the lights.
A little bit like Cujo. Yeah, he's
a little bit, a lot of bit.
Probably has to change his pants before the game starts. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing down there.
Once or twice.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Ohio State's going to win big. That's, I mean, spreads this big in the conference are just, they're just hard. I don't know
not,
if I
not buying the effect. Okay.
But since we're not actually putting money in, we're just doing our segment here, I would take Ohio State to cover. I think they're going to win by more than 21. I think Indiana is struggling. No Penix makes it tough. I think Ohio State has figured it out a little bit. It's not really a prime time game, but it's in prime time. And I just think Ohio State's going to show up in that in that kind of setting. So,
well, I hope not, because it would be nice with the way things are trending. It would be nice to see Ohio State come back down to earth once again and have everybody sort of remind themselves that, look, hey, this thing is still out there for the taking. So I'd like to see a competitive game.
I hear you. All right, next one.
Big 10, big lane.
Maryland at Minnesota. What's that do for you? Tackle?
Nothing. Nada. Can we do that? I don't know.
Yes, you just did.
This isn't
recorded. This is live. So when erections fall over, the Terps and the Gophers do it for Chris.
It does. Right, it does nothing for me.
Maryland at Minnesota, 3:30 kick. Gophers favored by 4. Where would you stack your bread on that one?
You know what? I feel like there's something about Maryland that always reels me in. Like, I always think they're this pesky.
You're a closet Terps fan.
I don't know. Maybe it's like the black, you know, the black alternate with the crazy helmet. And there's something about them that makes me think they're like this sneaky good team. But they don't really come up short. So I'm taking Minnesota. I'm never putting money on Maryland again, ever.
Yeah, they kind of blow. I think I would take the old boat rowers too in this one. Home game. Maryland just—they've been struggling. It's
Flash. Come on, PJ Fleck.
That guy.
You know that guy.
You know what he does.
You know what he does
with his shoes on. That's how into it he gets. They don't even have time.
Penny loafers.
Yeah, man, that guy. Anyway, that game There's gonna be like 11 people watching that game. Yeah, it's not very good. It's not a very good game.
I put it this way: I would watch Everybody Loves Raymond on TV over that game.
It's just a good show. I tape it sometimes.
No, that is
it's a line from 40-Year-Old Virgin. If you didn't know that, remember that scene? Paul Rudd brings over the big box of porn. He's going through the tapes. He's like, Boner Jams 03 compilation of all my favorite.
Here we go. Here we go. Right down the gutter. Right down the gutter.
And then he pulls out Everybody Loves Raymond. He's like, it's just a good show. I just tape it sometimes. Oh, boy. Friday night, folks. Friday night. All right. That's all we got. I mean, the slate's just not that great. We'll get into this when we do our bets at the end, too. Place your bets. There is not one ranked matchup this week. Not one. Not one game where both teams are ranked playing against each other. Yeah, there's some people putting this in the comments. I guess we can throw it up there. My buddy actually texted me about this. Wisconsin is favored by 3.5 over Purdue, who's coming off the big win and playing better lately.
Ranked.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of a strange line because I believe is it at Purdue? That I didn't look at. Let me pull it up real quick. It's at Purdue. It's at Purdue, and Wisconsin's favored by 3.5. So that one is peculiar because they've obviously looked pretty bad this year. So I don't know. Is that more lame? Is that more lame than Maryland at Minnesota? I went back. Those were the two that I was deciding between. You got Purdue, who's ranked, coming off a big win. I figured that was less.
No, because there's still some intrigue with Wisconsin, because Wisconsin, you want to see, are they really that bad every week? Like, what's happening to Wisconsin this week? What's happening to Wisconsin the following week? And now that Purdue is good and they're ranked in the top 25, I think the same can be said about Purdue. Is you want to see, like, how good can they be? So, no, that's a solid matchup.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the kind of game where I'm like, I would expect Wisconsin to win that one, but like, what the hell are they this year? Even at Purdue, I would still expect them to win, but I don't have any idea about why they got that line. Chris apparently is echoing again. I didn't hear it. So if you guys did hear it out there, apologize for that. He will be right back. Yeah, this obviously next weekend, there are several very, very big matchups. This weekend, not so much. No ranked opponents taking on each other. So, yeah, it's kind of hard when you look through. There's a couple intriguing games that we'll talk about to finish out the show when we do our place and bets. And then when we talk Michigan and Northwestern. But, yeah, no ranked opponents taking on each other this weekend. So that's a little bit interesting. So we'll see how that goes. Chris, one of my favorites. One of my favorites, over-unders. You ready?
Let's get into it.
You want to go first or you want me to start this week? I feel like you start a lot. You like to start? Chris is gone again. What? I mean, we're trying to launch into over-unders, one of my favorite parts, and Chris just leaves. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing over there. Are you good, man? Are you good?
Good. I was bugging out a little bit. I was bugging out.
All right, here we go. Over-unders. I will start first. we have this one just about every damn week, I feel like. But
yeah,
with the trend of this game and what we know that Michigan is good at and what Northwestern is bad at, Cade McNamara over under 20.5 pass attempts. 20.5.
Under.
Under. Okay.
Yeah, I see. I see him being somewhere back in that 16-17 attempt mark. I just think it sets up that way. Michigan does really well what Northwestern's really bad at, and I think we're just going to see that most of the day. So I'll take the under.
It's weird, dude. When I think about over-unders and specific happenings during the game, like I'm inclined to say, like, yeah, I think Michigan's going to be in a little tighter one than I think or than most people think. And then I think of my score prediction. I'm like, no, that's not what I think. What am I like? I can't.
Right.
I can't yeah. exactly what I think about this game. I'll say under two. You talked me into it. I do think they're going to run the ball a bunch. I think they get up by a little bit. I think JJ comes in and plays a little. I'll go under 20.5 as well.
Right on. All right. I got Michigan punts. Brad Robbins. Mm-hmm. At 3.5 on the afternoon.
Do you by chance have a number for him on the season? Like, what's he typically?
I don't know what the average. I do have some of the averages for the rest of these. I didn't grab his average before that. So I know that kind of puts you in a bit of a tough spot. But placing through the game, how you think it's going to go, you know, four drives where Michigan, you know, can't convert.
I'm actually going to say over. I'm going to say over because I think there's a slightly slow start. And I think because they're going to run the ball a lot, I think even on like a 3rd and 8, they're going to run it. And they might. So I can see a game script that allows him to punt it a little bit more, even though I think Michigan is going to be in control and not necessarily struggle on offense. I just see a formula that could equate to some punts. I don't think they're going to like punt it 10 times and struggle to score. But I think out of the gate a little slow. Couple times throughout the middle part of the game where they have a 3rd and manageable and they opt to run the ball as opposed to put it in the air. I'll go over slightly.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over slightly as well. I envision a couple punts in the first half, a couple punts in the second half. Even if Michigan's up big and JJ's out there, again, we've seen that they're not necessarily all that interested in having him throw the ball down the field. So if he's just turning it around and handing it off and they're trying to chew up clock, I could certainly see a scenario where they get a few extra punts out. So I don't think the over isn't necessarily because Michigan's having a bad day. It could just be a product of the fact that they're up by so much, they're not really trying to force anything, and that's just the way the game's going to go.
That's exactly what I see. I don't think they're going to struggle, but I could just see it's like a sleepy noon game. Like nobody's been really hyped about this one. Like, punt it. You know, even like a 4th
week. The Titan fans have been up about this one for a week now.
Yeah,
if you're the type of fan that takes it 1 week at a time.
right. No, I think they'll be slightly over that 3.5 number. This one's a little bit interesting, and I may actually track this one because I've seen it talked about a little bit over the course of the season with the type of receivers that Michigan does have and how I feel like this is part of that leaving meat on the bone thing that Jim Harbaugh has talked about. Passes thrown at or behind the line of scrimmage. Passes thrown, so we're talking like bubbles, slip screens, flare outs to the backs. 5.5. 5.5 throws at or behind the line of scrimmage.
I'll go over there. Because I do think that's where the bulk of McNamara's work is going to come on Saturday. So I do think he's going to get to 16 or 17 attempts, but I think 60, maybe even approaching 70% will come on those little bubble screens or, you know, those short passes like that. So I'll take the over. You had a 5.5?
Yeah. Yep.
Take the over.
Where this is tricky is because I just don't know if they're going to throw it that much. So it's like, if they throw it 14 times, man, that's like almost half would be
but
like.
When they do, isn't that what they normally do?
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go over as well. I will go over as well. That obviously includes like they haven't run a lot of screens to the backs, but that includes passes to the running backs most of the time. You know, again, the little check down, the flare out. You know, coming inside with the bubble or the tunnel screen with the guys they do have, Mike Sainer still, and even Cornelius Johnson has been able to get loose on those quick out throws and then get upfield and make a guy miss or break a tackle. Yeah. So, we'll see. I'll say over, but slightly, because I just don't think they're going to throw it that much.
All right, Brandon, I got Michigan creating turnovers. I've got it set at 2.5 on the afternoon. 2.5 turnovers.
I'm going to say under. I think they'll get two. I think they'll get two. Okay. I think they'll pick one off. I think they'll recover a fumble, a little strip sack, maybe another safety play like Brad Hawkins, ripping the ball out, maybe another muffed punt. They've been able to do that a couple times this year, but I'll say under. And turnovers is one of those tricky things. We say it every year. You like to see them. It's a huge play, changes the whole game. Michigan hasn't been that good at it this year. They haven't forced a lot of turnovers. So I'll say under. I think they get a couple, but I don't know about three or more.
Well, you know why I picked 2.5? Because 2 seems too little and 3 seems too much.
that's what a line is supposed to do.
So that's where I'm at with it. And based on that fact alone, I'm going to take the under just because we haven't really seen that defensive explosion yet where Michigan has just been, you know, creating turnovers like crazy. They're starting to get there. You can see the momentum sort of going that way. But I think 2 turnovers, if they can create 2 turnovers on Saturday, I think that's pretty much all they're going to need to really seal that thing up.
Yeah, that's a reasonable number. I feel like if you go into any football game at any level across the country and just be like 2 turnovers, that's kind of like your mark. More than that, and you're talking about like a turnover problem. 2 is kind of like the norm. If you're doing less than that, then you're taking really good care of the ball. So I think that's a good spot. I think that's a good number. Well, here it is again. We talk about it every week. I feel like J.J. McCarthy, are we going to see him? How much
McCarthy?
J.J. McCarthy, 10.5 snaps. J.J. McCarthy, 10.5 snaps. I believe he got 11 against Wisconsin. I don't remember what his number was against Nebraska.
I'll take the over because I believe it's a product of the way the game's going to go. I think I've based on what my score prediction is, I think there's going to be room for JJ to play a majority of the fourth quarter. So I'll take over on 11 snaps. Now, if you're asking me about attempts, I would hammer the under, but just purely on snaps, I'll take over on the 11.
I'm with you. I think you see him 4 or 5.
It was 10, right?
10.5.
10.5. Okay. I'll take the over.
I think you see him 4 or 5 times in the first half, like we have come in, run the ball, do this, mix it up a little bit. And then, maybe a couple series in the fourth quarter when the game is at hand. Like I think most people expect it to be, but it's been tricky, man. Like we talked about, like, why don't you just bring him in and have him hand it off or run? Like the dude is he throws the ball. That's what he's elite at. And they just,
Okay, so and I've been thinking about this too because it is puzzling. You're wondering why they use him that. But is that part of the reason why they do that? Because when JJ comes on the field, the expectation is, look out, this guy's got this arm. You know, he's proven he can sling it, and maybe that opens up something in the rush game. I don't know. I'm racking my brain trying to figure out like what is the point? Like I just want to know what the reasoning is behind the way they're using. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm not all that bright. I'm just a normal fan like everybody else. I don't get it. Somebody explain it to me. Somebody out there that's smarter than me. Why is he only handing the ball off?
Or running the ball himself. That's really what he's done more of than anything. They bring him in. He does he keeps it on his own read I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know what we're going to see with him. I think he'll get in the game because he has been getting in the game, and I think they win by a decent amount, so he plays. But, how they're going to use him or what they're going to let him do I don't know. I think they've already burned his red shirt. Clay Hunter is asking in the comments. If he's played in 5 games, then he's already – or he might be right at 4. Didn't we talk about this before?
We did. He didn't play against Washington, but I think he's right at the limit, and based on what Harbaugh said, they're not trying to conserve his redshirt.
They're playing him.
He already said that they're planning to get him in the game more and want to utilize him a little bit better. So that redshirt's going to be gone.
Yeah. We'll see. But I'll hit the over by a little bit. 10.5 snaps over for JJ.
All right, right on. All right, let's go to now. I do have an average number for you to sort of base this on. So I want to know what you think the Michigan overall rushing attempts are going to be at. Now on the season, Michigan averages just over 45 rushing attempts per game on the season, which I thought was kind of high, but I'll set the over under right there. 45.5 rushing attempts on Saturday.
Over. I think because they're going to be able to run the ball at will and Northwestern sucks at stopping it. I think they're going to do it a lot. I think it's going to be, like I said, it's going to look a lot like those first 3 games of the season when we were all like, do they even know how to throw the ball? We've learned that they do a little. I still want to see more. I still think that's the next level to making this team even more complete and even more of a handful. But I don't think we're going to see it tomorrow. I think they run the ball a ton. I think it's 15, 18, 20 for Haskins and Corum, and you sprinkle in Donovan Edwards and a couple quarterback runs, and there's your 45.
Yeah. Oh boy. I think it'll be over, but I hope it's under. Like I know what's at stake on October 30th. And so I hope they take the opportunity against Northwestern to really fine tune that passing game and make sure that they're firing on all cylinders by the time they go to East Lansing. But I have a hunch that like I alluded to earlier, we've seen this sort of movie before where a team comes in and they're not good at stopping the run and how Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines handle that. They just hammer you, you know, all afternoon long. So I would expect that's what it's going to be. I'll take the over on 45.5.
Really nice segue into my question is, so how productive are those carries? Michigan over under 285.5 yards rushing. 285.5. They're averaging 246.5, but if you remember those three games at the beginning of the season against really poor rush defenses, they were going over three bills with ease. So 285.5.
Yeah, I mean, I guess money says take the over. I mean, that's where you would expect them to be at. And again, it's basing it all on what we've heard about Northwestern. They're not very good at it. Michigan is good at it. Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins are going to carry the rock a lot. So, yeah, hammer the over.
I think it's over, too. I think they're going to get into that 300 range. I think Hassan and Corum easily could both go over 100. You sprinkle in a couple other backs. Maybe there's a reverse in there. Again, the QB runs have been a small part of the offense. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be really similar to what we saw out of the gate this year, those first three games against Western, Washington, and NIU, where it was 320, 340, 370, something like that. They just kept going up and up. And that has skewed the average a little bit because then they really came back to earth against Wisconsin and Rutgers and then kind of, you know, water found its level against Nebraska, and they were in the 200 range. So, but Northwestern sucks at stopping the run, man. And Michigan's going to want to run it at home and just get through the game safely and start focusing on Michigan State. So I think they go north of 285.
All right. Well, these are going to be some big numbers here. So get the Cade McNamara drop ready if it's not ready already. I got passing touchdowns here, Brandon. And just so you know, Cade McNamara averages 1.2 passing touchdowns per game on the season. So I've set the over-under on Saturday for McNamara passing touchdowns at 1.5.
What happens if we went out, huh?
What happens, Cade?
Do we get to two? Do we see two touchdown passes on Saturday?
I don't think so. I'm going to take the under. I think they're going to run the ball a lot. I think the running backs are going to get in the end zone at will. I just have, hey man, like, I feel like they're going to get in the red zone pretty often and be close to the goal line. And I mean, if we see some creative play calling that involves passing the ball from that zone, it'll be the first time. So, I know, you know, he tried it once, maybe once or twice earlier this year and hasn't been super successful when close to the goal line. They're going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to run it well. I'll say he throws one. I think that, like, he's averaging 1.2. I think that's about where he'll be.
Yeah.
Right? I thought he only had 5 passing touchdowns through 6 games. That's less than
I thought he had 7. The number I saw was – I might be wrong on that.
I think he's only got wrong? 5. He's got less than a touchdown a game.
I'll go back and look at the number. I thought I saw 7.
JJ's thrown 2, so they have
maybe 7. Maybe it's Michigan overall.
Yeah.
Passing touchdown. So would same apply if it's Michigan overall 7 on the year? Are you still going to take under on 2?
Well, that changes a little bit because if JJ comes in and does do his, you know, gunning it around a little bit.
But we're right back where we started. Is he throwing the ball? So are you confident enough, you know, if that changes it, will you go north of 2 if it's team, not Cade specific?
I think if it's Cade specific, it's under 1.5. I think if it's team, I think it's over because I think Jay picks the thumb in and throw one.
Okay. I will say I would take the over just on Cade because I think he gets one to like Cornelius or one of the receivers, but I can also see him getting one out of the backfield to Blake Corum or Hassan Haskins or one of the running backs. So I do think he gets a couple touchdown passes on Saturday, but I don't think it's, you know, you're not going to be blown away by the way they look. I just think, you know, he's been efficient. He's done enough to get the ball where it needs to be. He'll get the ball to Blake Corum in the flat. He'll probably find CJ for, you know, another 14, 15, 20-yard touchdown, call it a day.
I just would love for them to just wing it around. Just wing it around. Just look explosive as hell going into the Michigan State game. Give them a bunch.
Not going to happen.
I know it. I know it. All right, this is my last one. We need a drop. We need a drop for this. I will have one by the time we do our next pod. The sledgehammer. The sledgehammer.
Oh, boy.
Jake Moody, man. Over under 48.5 yarder. Over under a 48.5 yarder.
Well, I got the sledgehammer for my final question, too, and I had the over under at 37.5 on distance.
Jesus.
So
he's the hammer, dude.
I know he's the hammer. I didn't anticipate he would be put in that scenario. I didn't think he'd be okay in that situation. So, I mean, what do you got to set at? 47?
48.5.
48. I'll take the under.
All right. Just because that's a long-ass field goal.
It's a long field goal, and I think Michigan's going to be able to move the ball down the field. I think they're going to get in the red zone again. Well, just like we've talked about before, the problem with this team seems to be, you know, the creativity in the end zone leaves a lot to be desired. So I would say, wait, what is that over? He's going to take the over?
I put it up there because I feel the same way as Tony. I feel like Michigan's going to have one of those drives where you're like, what are you doing? And he has to come out there and bang a 50-yarder. That's what I think. I'm going to say
and then,
over.
And then the Heisman campaign ensues.
Moody Magic, the sledgehammer, dude. He's swinging a big stick. Let him have it. Let him pipe one through.
Just let the guy 51. Kick.
Let him do it, dude. Let him live. Let him live. I mean, there you go, dude. There's our over-unders, man. Another one of my – between over-unders with some music playing and the burning questions, and I get into the segments, dude. How many reps did you do today, dude? What is with the water jug, man?
It was last night. It sucked all of the fluids out of my body. Jeez. I feel like I actually played – I mean, technically, I was on the court for like a couple – did I –
did you play a game?
Am I an athlete? Am I look at the way I'm drinking? I mean,
you're not an athlete.
I could be. No. I was sweating like an athlete.
There were beads coming through your trucker hat. They were glistening in the light. I was like, I was trying to locate a medic. I'm like, is Chris gonna be okay out here?
I looked like an angel.
Come on, man.
Just glistening with a halo of light around me.
The glow of a pregnant woman was on you last night. It was good times, dude. Good times. All right, let's finish it out. Couple bets to make. National scene again. No ranked matchups, so we're going to go Clay wants to see the cookie. The famous cookie. In the press, but I'll see what I can
Unreal.
Do.
Unreal.
I'll see what I can do. If I can get myself in front of Chris's camera, I will bust that cookie out and let you guys see what goes on in that press box. I threw that up on accident. That's from your mom, right? Did you play horse with Juan?
I don't know. I have no idea. Didn't
get that going. All right, let's play some bets and finish it out here. Talk about Michigan specifically. Again, no ranked matchup this week, but I still think some moderately intriguing lines and numbers when you look at the overall schedule for college football tomorrow. Then we'll finish out with Michigan and Northwestern. First one I want to throw at you, Chris.
Throw it at me.
Much of these teams, I don't think I've seen Oklahoma State at all, but they're number 8 in the country right now. The Cowboys are doing some things. Oklahoma State at Iowa State. Michigan fans love Iowa State, don't they? Remember the Matt Campbell deal? They haven't been very good. Somehow, number 8 Oklahoma State is going on the road against Iowa State, and Iowa State is favored by 7. By 7? Does that not
Yeah.
I don't know a ton about either of these teams. The game's at 3:30. It's not a prime time. It's not a night game. But it's in Ames. Iowa State's the home team. Oklahoma State, 7-point road dog as a top 10 team in the country.
I think I would put my money on the Cyclones here. And the reason I say that is because I feel like this is the last opportunity they have to really salvage their season. Everybody was high on Iowa State preseason. I think they were preseason number 7, right? I think they were something a top like 10 that. Preseason team. Now they're nowhere to be found, but you've got a top 10 team coming in. I think this is the last time you can really sort of, you know, you're not going to get many more of these opportunities. And I think that sometimes Ames can get pretty crazy and something special can happen. And this Saturday might just be that time.
I think Oklahoma State is going to win. I don't know, man. This line seems weird to me. I know Oklahoma State is like a different team than what they've always been to. They're playing really good defense.
You don't trust Vegas?
I don't know what's happening, man. I just don't understand how they can be number eight in the country going on the road to take on a team in Iowa State who's not been that great. And I don't know, -7? Iowa State -7. I don't know. If I was going to put some money on a game, that might be it. And I don't really know that much about these two teams, but I would hammer Oklahoma State. I think they might not only cover, but I think they win.
Well, I'm not putting money on it, so.
I might. I got it pulled up right here. I might do it right now. You guys want to see me put money on it live? Just kidding. I'm not ready to do that.
Is Mrs. Brown watching?
Nah, she's up there. She might be watching on here, but anyway. Matthew just keeps throwing out. I'm back home, man. I'm not broadcasting from the toilet anymore. That was a two-day thing. I'm back, baby. I'm back. All right. This has been one of the, I would say, unexpected developments of the season, but Clemson tumbles all the way out of the top 25. That's what happens when you lose in the ACC. But Clemson is traveling to Pitt. Pitt is ranked number 23 in the country. The game is at 3:30. The Panthers are favored by 3 over Clemson. Pittsburgh is favored by 3 over Clemson. They're at home. Where would you stack your paper on that one?
I'm still taking Clemson. I still got to take Clemson.
Oh, like two.
They still got Dabo. They still, I mean, they're still, you know, they're not Clemson, but they're still Clemson. And I know, you know, obviously this year hasn't gone according to plan. It hasn't gone the way a lot of people thought it was going to go. But again, I just think they're better than what they've shown this year so far. And this is an opportunity again for them to get back on track. Like some of these other teams, I think they take advantage of it. I take Clemson.
Man, I don't know a lot about Pitt. I know they've got Kenny Pickett, this quarterback that they've got that's climbing up draft boards. I think I would take Clemson too. 3 points is close. I mean, that's not much. It's essentially a toss-up game, but it is on the road. Pitt is playing really well. But Clemson, they just got so much talent. I don't understand how that season is happening the way that it is. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see on that one. But I would put a small wager on the Tigers. We'll see what happens with that one. Last one, not involving Michigan and Northwestern. Apparently it's a rivalry game. It's always kind of felt like a weird one to me. I know it goes back a long way, but USC at number 13, Notre Dame. USC in South Bend, 7:30 primetime night game. The Irish are favored by 7. The Irish are favored by 7 over the Trojans. Who you got?
I take the Irish for sure. I mean, I take the Irish to cover. Absolutely. Here's the thing. USC, I thought they were going to be better than what they were this year. And again, that's another team that you thought maybe they would do something and it just hasn't quite worked out. I know that, you know, Cincinnati went into South Bend and knocked off the Irish, but Cincinnati looks like they might be the real deal. So I think the Irish get back on track. I'll give them the W against USC, a struggling USC team.
Yeah, USC.
And the cover.
That's a long – it's a night game, which helps their body clocks out a little bit, but that's a long trip. You got a West Coast team coming to the Midwest. It's probably going to be pretty chilly in South Bend. I do think Notre Dame wins. I don't think it's by a lot, but, yeah, maybe it's like a 10-point win,
yeah,
you know, like a 34-24 type of game, something like that, which would cover. So I think I would take the Irish too as I'm kind of talking through it a little bit. USC is one of those they should be so much better than they are. Like every year they should be so much better than they are. And they're not. So and Notre Dame's decent. They're solid. They'll run the ball. We've talked about Brian Kelly before. I think he's a
How hard can it possibly be to bring elite talent to USC?
Not hard. There's multiple powerhouse feeder schools that like kids are just like they go there and they're like, I go to USC. That's what I do.
Yeah,
and they still haven't been able to win. So I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. All right, last but certainly not least, the game that we will be at in the Big House in Ann Arbor, Northwestern at Michigan at noon, 23.5 freaking points, Chris.
23.5. I'm going to take the under. I've got it at 34-13.
Your prediction was 21, and actually we had the same exact score prediction before I saw your write-up. I had 34-13 as well. So that would mean not covering, but winning. Like, this is a weird one. The spread is so big.
like Michigan can still like kick ass and not cover. Like if you win a game by 21 points, like that's a great win.
Yeah.
And that still wouldn't cover. So I'm with you. If I was putting money on something, I'd put it on the Wildcats to be within that 23.5 point range. Michigan still wins pretty easily.
Yeah, especially if it's the type of sleepy afternoon we think it's going to be to start things off. It might just be like running in mud till everybody gets back up and gets going. So
we're going to get up there. We're going to have a couple sausages, some fountain Coke, a cookie, apparently.
So much fountain, all kinds of fountain pop.
Oh, they got it. They got it up there. Neither of us are coffee guys, but there's people up there who just are putting that stuff in their veins. We'll go with Coke. We'll go with Coke products. Yeah. Cherry Coke. I think I go Cherry Coke up there, actually, most of the time. You do
cherry,
the diet? You
go diet? Cherry Coke? No, not in the press box.
Not at the press box?
I drink the hard stuff. The hard stuff in the press box.
The hard stuff.
Coca-Cola. Straight up. Red Label. All day.
That's how we place our bets.
Was that... Do we have more in the show, or was that it?
That's pretty much it, dude.
I don't know if the show could fit any more greatness inside.
We got a lot of good stuff in there. You know, when we don't have a
Martin, I agree. Cherry Coke Zero, phenomenal.
Tony, I love it. Are you ready for an admission right here? He said, "I got the over." Full disclosure: admission on live broadcast right now. I have never used the food delivery service.
Neither have I.
Never used Grubhub. Never used DoorDash. I've never done it. I've had food delivered, like places that deliver. Yeah. Certainly, I've done that. But I mean, I'll scroll through my phone right now. I have none of the food apps. I don't have them. I don't believe in it.
It's just a third party, right? It's people independently that go out. Like, it's kind of like Uber. Like instead of driving you around, they just bring you your food, right? That's how that works.
So Tony,
I don't like that. Something about somebody else picking up my food for me.
Yeah,
doesn't do it for me.
Tony, I'm sorry, man. You lost your money on that bet. I like where your head's at. I like the humor angle. It's not what I do, man. I don't roll that way. I don't do the Grubhub. I don't do DoorDash.
You lost money, Tony.
Sorry, man. It is what it is. If you want to win money, listen to us. Religiously, every bet we said, take it to the bank. Don't really do that. That was just for fun. Honestly, though, some of these games I'm going to take a look at. That Oklahoma State line, I'll probably put a couple Cronkites on that one, dude. We'll see how it goes.
All right. Don't say I didn't warn you.
I'm telling you. Ooh, let's finish out with this fun little topic. What do we get? He said he had something. We had Blake Corum on at the beginning of the week. Yeah. Give himself a cat bath. We asked him what's the touchdown celebration going to be this week against the Wildcats, and he said I got a little something. So he's working on something. I don't know exactly
what else could it be.
Good question, Josh. Right there, really, really excited and anxious to see what Blake comes up with. Yeah, that's I don't know. What does he do?
That's what I'm going with. I'm rolling with it.
Paint whiskers on his face? No.
Listen, if you go from the corn to like the cleaning yourself like a cat, like that would be legendary. You got to do that. You got to.
If he does do that, I'm taking partial credit because we talked about it on Monday.
I take credit for a lot of things that happen. If they win, I take credit for that. I don't take credit for it if they lose, though.
Yeah. I think Michigan's going to roll. I think they're going to run the ball like crazy. I think they're going to get out of there with a big, easy dub, try to keep everyone upright
and
healthy.
And then.
And then everybody who doesn't want to talk about it for some reason can freaking pound sand, and we're allowed to talk about it.
Finally. We can welcome them into the conversation finally. Jesus.
All right. Anyway, pretty solid show. 53 minutes in the books. Chris, you feel good about that number on a Friday night? I feel good about it.
I feel real good about it.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Excited to be back in the big house tomorrow, checking out Michigan to take on Northwestern. Keep it locked at WolverineDigest.com. Put up a bunch of, I think, like 50 photos, something like 40 or 50 photos from the Michigan Madness last night. Over at the Facebook page, Chris has some footage of what we saw. I'm going to have the predictions article up there. The Hub will be up in the morning. We got it all, man. We got everything you need. Check it out. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys tomorrow after Michigan takes care of business and moves to 7-0. See ya.